You set a firm rule for yourself, one drink, maybe two. Then something shifts, and the next morning, you're replaying the night, wondering how it happened again. The frustrating part isn't the drinking. It's that you genuinely wanted to stop. That gap between what you intended and what you did has a name. Psychologist Leon Festinger called it cognitive dissonance, the intense psychological stress of holding two contradictory beliefs at once. You want to be healthy. You also want to drink. Both feel true. That internal war is not a character flaw, Thomas. It is a documented neurological conflict, and willpower is the wrong weapon for it. Here is why the willpower approach collapses. Think of your prefrontal cortex as the rational manager of your brain, the part that sets goals, weighs consequences, and applies the brakes. Research from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism shows that chronic alcohol use can physically alter that region. The brakes weaken, not metaphorically, structurally. So when you white-knuckle your way through a craving, you are asking a compromised system to override itself. That is like demanding a sprained ankle run a sprint. The effort is real. The outcome is predictable. Willpower fails not because you are weak, but because the biology has been quietly shifted against you. Now, the key idea most people miss is this. The brain did not develop a drinking habit randomly. It was trained. Every time alcohol followed stress, celebration, or boredom, your neural pathways reinforced a simple equation. Discomfort arrives, alcohol resolves it. For example, think of the person who pours a glass the moment they walk through the door after work. They are not making a conscious choice anymore. They are executing a script. The World Health Organization identifies alcohol as a causal factor in over 200 disease and injury conditions. Yet it remains, remarkably, the only substance where society routinely pressures people to justify not using it. You're not drinking? Why not? That social pressure is not accidental. It is conditioning layered on top of conditioning, and it deepens the illusion that alcohol is a reward you are actively missing out on. That feeling of missing out, deprivation, is the real obstacle. When you tell yourself you cannot have something, you make it magnetic. Every sober moment becomes a negotiation with absence. That is why restriction-based approaches so often collapse under pressure. The goal is not to fight the urge. The goal is to unlearn the desire itself. Neuroplasticity research confirms the brain can weaken conditioned responses through cognitive reframing, not suppression, but a genuine restructuring of what alcohol means to you. Remember, you are not removing something valuable. You are correcting a false association your brain was taught to make. The craving is not evidence that you need alcohol. It is evidence that a neural pathway was built, and pathways, Thomas, can be rebuilt. The takeaway from everything here is precise. The struggle to control alcohol is not about discipline or moral strength. It is a collision between your conscious desire to change and your unconscious conditioning, and that conditioning runs deep, socially and neurologically. Willpower treats the symptom. Cognitive reframing treats the source. You are not someone who lacks control. You are someone whose brain learned a very convincing story about what alcohol does for you. The rest of this course is about rewriting that story, one neural pathway at a time.